I enjoyed that very much, and I appreciate y'all staying for the afternoon service. It's quite a good attendance for the afternoon service. And I hope you'll pray for me as I come before you. Brother Craig talked about boasting in the Lord this morning. And he did good, didn't he? He did good this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I was off in another state at a meeting with him one time, and he preached. It happened to be a morning that I was afraid to be put up because I had felt like nobody had preached that morning. But they put Brother Craig up. When he got through, I said, attaboy, when he got through, fell behind me, patted me on the shoulder. He said, is that your son? I said, well, it might as well be. I'll claim him. So I'm not ashamed of him. But we ought to brag on his son. I thought about, I don't even know how long ago, 30 years longer. Down at Tired Creek, any of them, y'all surely, I know y'all do, remember Brother Varn?
Yes.
He had the smoothest pulpit delivery you could imagine. You know, I kind of like that. I really did. It was just him, of course. One time I have hollered. I remember one time I got too loud here in Cool Springs, and I still think about it every once in a while. But anyway, one time I told old Brother Otis Coward, I said, Brother Otis, I said, I don't holler like some of these preacher dudes. He said, Brother Sam, the qualification is apt to teach. You don't say nothing about apt to holler. And I've taken that to heart. You don't have to holler and carry on to preach the gospel. And Brother Varn, I don't reckon ever did. He was so easygoing. But he preached on bragging on the Lord's son. He said, you know, I have these boys, and if somebody wants to brag on them a little bit, it's all right with me. He said, I love to hear them brag on those boys. And he said, the Lord loved to hear us brag on his son.
Amen.
That's the truth. I want to brag on him a little bit. Brag on his grace. You know, sometimes a good way to brag on something, to show the greatness of something, is to show the opposite of it so you can see the contrast. So I want to start out with painting you an ugly picture. It's a little closer, I suppose, to Reedsville from home than it is to here. But you all know the state prisons down there. And if there's anything that makes a sad picture to me, it's a jailhouse. It's a sign that wrong has been done to the extent that people must be separated from society. It's a sign where families have had to be separated. Little children growing up having to tell their buddies that their daddy's in prison. Ain't a thing in the world pretty about a jailhouse to me. And another sad thing to me is a cemetery. Brother Franklin and I were talking a while ago about funerals. There's just always a sadness to a funeral. They can call them celebrations all they want to, but I've never been the one that there wasn't some sadness there. And the graveyards are the same way. That is a constant reminder every time you drive up here to this wonderful place where people have been assembling for 200 years, that we are mortals, that our life here on this earth is limited, that our days are few and full of trouble. It's going to be over with in this life pretty soon. Again, it's a sign of separation, of sorrow, a place where so many tears have been shed. But now down there at Reedsville, at the state prison, there is a cemetery. I was down there with a group of ag teachers. We were working at the beef cows, cattle facility, doing some training down there. And the cemetery is right across the road from the barn, the cattle barn. And it's a sad looking sight. You can see the big prison over there behind it. Just simple little crosses marking graves in the cemetery. In my mind, it's just a sad picture. But my friend who worked down there, the beef cattle person, he had a story to tell me about it when I commented on that cemetery. He said, you know, this cemetery is for people whose family doesn't claim them. They're just left here for the state to do with them as they will. And so what they do is they build a simple wooden box, just nailed shut, bring them over here with a burial detail, and put their bodies in that box in the ground and mark it with just a number on a little cross. And he said one day it was cold and miserable, and they came out here for a burial detail. And where they had nailed that box together came unnailed. And the man fell out on the ground, and they just turned the box over, put him back in it, nailed it up, and went on and buried him. Have I painted you a sad picture? There's something about it even sadder. Most everybody that calls themselves Christian, or at least a big part of, would have said, surely that man is in hell. Prison all his life, or a big part of it. Nobody to care for him. Nobody to come get him. And it's just too bad for him. Don't you reckon a lot of people profess Christianity would have come to that conclusion? That's even sadder, isn't it? That people think they know that much. People think that they limit our God so much. That's the heartbreaking thing in that picture. Y'all got enough of that? Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Now, I'm not your typical run-of-the-mill Christian, if I'm a Christian at all. I hope I am. But I'm thinking, man, I sure hope he's one of us. It looks like to me God's treating us pretty good right here. This that I have read to you is a beautiful picture. Let me tell you something. The God of heaven will not be hindered by the fact that that man was a prisoner in the Georgia State Penitentiary. The God of heaven won't be hindered by that man being nailed up in a wood box and buried on a cold nail in prison detail. Won't bother him. Won't matter. Now my thinking is, that poor man had such hard life here in this world. I'd like to think he's one of us. that that place where they buried him will become a place of joy in the morning of the resurrection when the Lord comes back and calls him forth for his from that grave. Now, I can't tell you that with certainty, but you let me hope it, won't you? For the poor man, whoever he is, that the Lord would raise him up one morning. By His grace. His grace is amazing. His grace is to be bragged on. His grace is to be gloried and given praise to. God's grace. Now, I'll grant you more than likely that fellow down there at the prison probably didn't deserve eternal salvation.
No.
I know one other fellow that don't too. And you might know a few. But that grace will take care of that too, won't it? Amazing grace. He's made us right here while we're in this world. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Y'all been to a heavenly place lately? Isn't that a wonderful place to be? I believe I've been in a heavenly place today. Wonderful, loving people. Good people I'm just glad to see and to be with. And the story of the Son. I'm not bragging on my preaching. I brag on Brother Craig's preaching. But nevertheless, the truth of God's love and His saving grace has been preached in public, in a public place, in the United States of America.
On the internet.
What's that?
On the internet. Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. And I don't anticipate anybody coming in here with a pistol to stop me. We're blessed to sit in heavenly places like this.
Amen.
Where God is worshipped and the truth is told. Sometimes you can't come to church though. I tell you, I believe I sat in some heavenly places when COVID was going on and I couldn't go to church. Brother Sam, one day, I'm going to do it now. One day, sitting at home, and you got to talking about Sister Boots Fulford. You know how that she went through so much suffering in her life. I remember the day I went to her house for her funeral. And there by her chair was an old Lloyd's hymnal. And the pages were worn thin. Brother Sam preaching that, and I said, I wish he could have seen that book. No doubt she sat right there in that recliner, right by herself, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and worshiping God. Oh, that's some good grace. You don't have to kill thousands of people or have them lose their life, building great cathedrals and spending all the poor people's money, spending their bread to do it, to worship the God of heaven. You can meet out there under a tree if the Lord's there and just worship Him all day long. I tell you, those are heavenly places. Oh my goodness, we could just go on and on about these heavenly places, but I believe it's talking mostly about His church here. He's blessed us to be in these heavenly places. And this is the order. This is how it come to be. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Again, I was talking to Brother Franklin a while ago. I had a brother who lived just a few houses down. I lived in Vestavia for a long time, Brother Sam. And then he moved over there to Kathleen. Well, he moved to state for a while and then wound up in Kathleen, right down from Beaver Creek. And he became a fairly serious Bible student the last years of his life. I never could get him to go to Old Baptist Church much. But anyway, he was diagnosed with a leukemia on one Friday and died the next Friday. And I was sitting with him up there making it in the hospital. One time, in the middle of the night, he raised up. And he said, Sam, do you believe my destiny is fixed, determined? I said, well, you talking about your cancer? Or are you talking about your... He said, no, I'm talking about my eternal destiny. I said, the Bible? Now, he wasn't a primitive Baptist, and I'm not going to tell you I converted him. But I will tell you he'd read the Bible several times in the most recent years. I said, the Bible says that it was determined before the foundation of the world, that you were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And nothing's going to change that. He said, well, that's what the Bible said. At least he didn't put it off. He acknowledged it. And you know, I really believe to this day, and probably always will believe, that he got some peace of mind in just being affirmed that it was chosen before the foundation of the world. Well, chosen for what purpose? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know what? What's that man down there that buried in the jailhouse cemetery? If he's a child of God, you know what his condition's going to be? Nobody would have probably called him holy right here in this world. But he's going to be holy one day if he belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And there won't be enough lawyers anywhere around to blame him with a thing. Holy and without blame. And that's good, isn't it? But this is the best part. Before him. Before who? Before Jesus Christ, that loved you enough to shed his blood on Calvary's brow for you to see him. Stand before him in love. Now, if he belonged to the Lord, I don't care how bad a day it was and what an ugly situation it was in, it's going to be all right with him. In fact, I rather expect the next thing he knows as far as the body goes will be all right. So anyway, without him, holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us, God chose us. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children, the adoption to wit, the resurrection of the body. He predestinated those bodies will come up out of the ocean. People say, what if you cremate them? Well, if God predestinated that he would raise them up before the foundation of the world, do you figure that somebody burning the body up will change God's mind about his predestination?
No.
That he made before the world began? It won't be a problem for the Lord. So anyway, according he predestinated him, adopted him. Why did he do it? Why did he choose some, not others? I can tell you exactly why. There are a lot of things I can't tell you exactly why. Because I don't know. I was educated as a scientist, and no good scientist is going to tell you exactly anything unless they know it from somewhere else. One of my children brings that to my attention from time to time when he thinks I'm indecisive. He has seen me decisive, though. A time or two. But anyway, according to the good pleasure of his will, he chose a great crowd, billions of people, I'm satisfied, at least billions, for heaven and mortal glory calls he wanted to. The good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace. Praise his name. Praise and give glory to his grace. He hath made us. You know who the us is? Us is the just and just us. But there's a bunch of us. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. People tell you all day, I mean, you can find them. You don't have to go far. Find somebody to tell you that you got to accept the Lord to go to heaven when you die. And they're good people. They make you some good neighbors. come to see you when you're in the hospital, might even go to your funeral. They'll be good neighbors. I'm not putting them down. They're just wrong. It's not us accepting the Lord. What matters is that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Once again, the old brother down there at the cemetery, God predestinated him before the foundation of the world. And if God made him accepted in the Beloved, no matter how rough his life was, it'll be all right. Let me tell you one more thing about that prison. Back in the 70s, I guess, sometime where back then, they had prison riots around the country. Brother Andy Miles, he goes around the church a good bit, and he's a member down there where Brother Craig serves, Emmaus. But anyway, his daddy was a fine fellow. He was the prison chaplain. And he said when that riot broke out in that prison, he said those prisoners, a group of them, came to him and said, "Mr. Miles, you're going to be all right. We're going to see about you." And they took him and locked him in the chapel until it was over with. Somebody down there got a loving heart, don't they? And where did they get it from? He made them accepted in the Beloved. May God bless you.